Today's scripture reading will be from Psalm 18, the whole chapter. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth, glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me. He drew out of many waters. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you show yourself pure, and with the crooked you make yourself seem torturous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer, and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You have a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and did not turn back till they were consumed. I thrust them through, so that they were not able to rise, they fell under my feet. For you equipped me with my strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mirror of the streets. You delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came clinging to me. foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who delivered me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You rescued me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. Let us have a word of prayer. Father, dear God, there's no other way to express ourselves towards you. And that is the first verse of Psalm 18, where it says, I love you. And Father, we do truly love you because of who you are and how great you are. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You've created all things, and we look up to you and we bow down to you, Lord. May you be with us as we listen more about you, and we comprehend everything very carefully to be able to apply that in our daily lives. In your wonderful and blessed name I pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Glad to see you. I'm always happy to come back. I was thinking, first time I used to minister here, I was 24 years old. Boy, I was young back then, wasn't I? And became good friends with Joseph and Jesse and Anne. Just a little baby girl when I first... And Ruthie, she blames me. You know, she says, I cause her to laugh, but... She's the troublemaker. I think we all know that. Well, I'm glad to be here. I brought my new CD. I don't know if you all know this, but I do music for the poor. I started a few years ago just playing small concerts, and God is blessing. And last time I was in Africa, this past February, they started to play my new album on the radio across Canada. Could you believe that? At my age, I've become a rock star. Isn't that something? But I do this for the poor, and on November the 10th, we're doing our big show for the children of Africa at the Olympia in Montreal. On St. Catherine, and I have a few tickets that I gave to Anne. And if you also want to buy a CD, you can do that. I'm up to $105,000, like I said, and my goal is to raise $500,000 for the poor. So if you have a heart that you want to help and fight against poverty, well, this is a small way. You can do that by helping me. Now, it's my privilege to open up God's Word to you. And the text that the Lord has laid on my heart, I don't want you to open your Bibles to it, but I'm just going to quote it. It's found in Proverbs. And it says this: there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. I'm going to repeat it again. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, I humble myself before you. Unless you come down and anoint me, Lord, there's nothing that's going to happen. But if you anoint me, then people will sense the power of your own Spirit, and we'll all give you the glory and the praise. Lord, you know the needs. I don't. But you see in the invisible realm, and I pray that you will guide my mind, my thoughts, my spirit, so that I can not only honor you and glorify you, but also minister, shepherd, love your children here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This text is for all those who are hurting this morning, for all those who feel defeated, for all those who want to give up, for all those who are going through trials and tribulations, because this is a very powerful word for even those who want to give up. And sometimes we do want to give up, don't we? But this word from God is amazing. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan. There is nothing that can defeat the Lord. So that if you are in the Lord, there's nothing that can defeat you in the long term. True, God sometimes allows suffering to come into our lives. But remember this, He always, always, always has the last word. After the terrible crucifixion of Jesus Christ, there came the resurrection. And so in your situation, in your problem, in your pain, God is going to have the last word. Because there is no power, no wisdom, no spiritual, invisible force, not even all the demons of hell that can destroy you. Because the living God is your God. Only God is free, totally free and invincible. And because you're in Him, He is going to take care of you and watch over you. Now I'm going to take you to four passages in the Old Testament. I see many of you do not have your Bible, so I will just tell you the story. The first is a situation in the life of a prophet named Daniel and the great king Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon. He was a ruthless man. He had no pity for people. He was cruel, and the people feared him. And he had two dreams, at least. And one of the dreams, he told his magicians this, something impossible. He said this, "I've had a dream that has troubled me greatly. Now I want you to tell me what that dream is, and then interpret for me." The astrologer said, "Oh great king, it's impossible. There's no one on earth that can tell you what dream you had and then interpret for you." And he says, "If you don't, I'm going to kill all of you." And he got angry. So a decree came to all the provinces of Babylonia that all the magicians and the wise men were to be killed. Now the problem with this was that Daniel was one of the wise men. Innocent though he was, he had to be killed. And the amazing thing, and I love that text, when Daniel approached God with the problem, he didn't say right away, "Oh God, give me the interpretation of the dream." He said this, "Oh God, have mercy." Dear ones, the attitude that we must have before the sovereign God is an attitude of humility. He is not our servant. Sometimes we take God for our maid. He is not that. He is the living God, and we have to approach Him with humility. But the heart of God, loving as it is, always responds to humility. And God gave Daniel the dream and the interpretation. But I want to take you to the second dream that he had. Nebuchadnezzar dreamt of this huge tree that reached to the skies. And the leaves of the tree were green and rich, a lot of fruit, and all the animals of the earth went under the tree in its shade. And then he heard a voice saying, "Cut the tree down and put chains of bronze over the stump." And he was troubled by that dream. And he remembered that Daniel had interpreted a dream for him before. So he called Daniel and he said, "Daniel, I've had this dream about this tree." And Daniel explained this to him. Daniel got white. He said, "O king, I wish this dream was about your enemies, but this dream is about you. You are that tree. You've become great. You are the king of all kings. All the nations of the earth are under your shadow. But O king, God is going to cut you down. And you're going to live like an animal for 7 years. You're going to be eating grass like cattle because of your pride. So I ask you, O king, turn from your evil ways. Do good to the poor so maybe that this dream won't happen." Nebuchadnezzar brushes it off. The Bible says that a year later, he's walking on in his palace. And he's glorying over and he says this, "Look how glorious is my Babylon that I have built through my own glory and splendor. This glorious empire that my strength and wisdom has built." As soon as he said that, a voice from heaven said, "Because you have not humbled yourself, you're going to be cut down. And that's what happened. He became sick for 7 years. He lost his mind. He became insane. And people would turn away from him. And he literally ate grass. But after the 7 year period, he looked up to heaven and he glorified God Most High. And this is what he said. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 to 36. You should underline these great truths. He said this, talking about God, His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. Listen, dear one. God was faithful with Moses in his generation. He was faithful with David in his generation. He was faithful with the prophets in their generations. He was faithful with the evangelists. He is faithful with us. He will not change. God has not gotten older, though He's called the Ancient of Days. He is still has the same power and authority and grace. Then he says this, all the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. Listen to me. If every nation on earth decided to band together and fight against God, we'd still be like dust before Him. Then he says this, He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven. So many Christians are always afraid of demons. Yes, we have a ruthless foe. Yes, there has to be some modicum of understanding that He is real. It's a real entity. But let's not glorify Him, because God has all the power, and even the evil one has to submit to God. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? Here's the absolute liberty, freedom, power, glory of the living God. And he has not changed. So this is a great declaration that Nebuchadnezzar said for all of us to keep in mind, that there is absolute sovereignty, even though it doesn't seem that way at times. God will always have the last word. Now, I want to tell you a truth that's even more beautiful than this one. It's great to know theologically these things. It's better to experience them existentially. And I'm going to take you to another passage in 1 Samuel. We all know and love the story of David, right? David, who was promised by God that he would be king. And guess what? For years, he was persecuted by the king of Israel, Saul. He was anointed as king. The old king didn't want to give up his power. And he went from cave to cave, being chased like a dog. And he says, God, where's your promises? Now, he attracted about 600 men who were also rejects. And so here's little David with his band. This singer, this poet, this wonderful man of God who adored God is in trouble. And the situation I'm going to talk about, he's even in deeper trouble. He's on a raid. So he takes his men out on a raid. While he's on a raid, the Amalekites, the enemies, come and devastate his camp. They take away the wives, they take away the children, they take away everything. David and his men finally get to the camp. When the men arrive at the camp and see that their wives and children are gone, everything's gone, the Bible says this, they wept until they had no more strength. Have you ever been there? Has your difficulty been so deep, so powerful? Has the wound been so great that you have wept and wept and wept until you didn't have the strength? David was in that situation. To make matters worse, the men said this, "We're going to stone him." So not only has he lost his wives, his children, now David is about to be killed. And I love this verse. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But, listen to this, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Dear ones, I thank God for antidepressants. I thank God for psychologists. I thank God for people who have good ears to hear. Those are all wonderful things. But blessed is the man and woman that knows God enough that he or she can delve into God and find comfort in him alone. The problem is, we don't know God anymore. And we don't know God anymore because we don't spend time with him. We forget that there's a relationship that we can, like David. Why did David say, like this dear young man read a few moments ago, "You are my rock. You are my salvation. You are my high tower. You are my everything." Why? Because he experienced God. It wasn't just something intellectual or superficial. He really knew God. So when the trouble came, David could encourage himself in God. Because he knew God. He experienced God. He spent time with God. It was revelation. It was disclosure. It was a friendship. And you see, dear ones, this to me is the essence of the Christian life. Because if all you do is come to church on Sunday and you get your little dose and you go back into the world, and it's not going to be very exciting. But if you can develop a friendship with God, spending time with God, getting to a place alone where you cry out like David, "As the deer pants, the thirsty deer pants after the water, but so my soul pants after thee, O God, I thirst for the living God." When you get to that place, blessed will you be. Because there is no one, nothing like the love and the presence of God flowing through you. That's why you were made. The other things are important in your life, but not as important as that one great existential truth of knowing God, of loving God, of spending time with God. Now I want to take you to another situation. The prayer of Jehoshaphat. And that's found in 2 Chronicles. The text, chapter 20. Now Jehoshaphat was a good king, little country. And the text says that the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Mennonites, and all kinds of other ites, thousands and thousands of soldiers came against King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. And someone came with the good news, "King, all these thousands of soldiers are coming against Jerusalem. Let's see what Jehoshaphat did." Verse 3. Alarmed, he was scared, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Sometimes God will allow fear to come into your life so that you can see him. God loves you so much that he will even allow troublesome things. Now, let's look together at this wonderful passage. Verse 6, his prayer. He said this, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? O Lord God of our fathers. What was he saying by that? Jehoshaphat went back to the promises of God. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You made promises to them. Oh God, who made promises to them. You know what the problem is? And God knows I'm not a legalistic guy. I'm not one of these Christians that are armed with spiritual baseball bats and hit people on the head. I believe in freedom. And I believe in love. And I don't believe in being a Pharisee. But I got to say this. Sometimes in our generation, I think we're too much on the computer, too much on the iPad, too much in front of the television, and we don't know the promises of God anymore. And we have to get back to the basics and back to the scriptures. Jehoshaphat pleaded with the word of God. God, you made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember, remember, we are your people. You rule over all the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. The same thing that Nebuchadnezzar said. You are sovereign and free. Hear us and save us. Now, look at verse 12. For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. Have you been there too? A situation in your life and you just don't know what to do. You're in despair, in brokenness. Jehoshaphat was there. It's like, can you imagine for him a little king of a little army, you know, there they are, surrounded by, it's like if 100,000 Taliban surrounded the church right now. Whoa! What on earth are we going to do? Let's send Ruthie. Let's send her out. With the trumpet. And I'll follow Ruthie anywhere after. An impossible situation. Like in your life, it might seem an impossible situation. We have no power to face this vast army. We do not know what to do, but, what does he say? But, our eyes are upon you. And that made all the difference. Because the Spirit of God came upon the prophets and said, Jehoshaphat, don't worry. This battle is not yours, it's the Lord's battle. He's going to fight for you. He's going to show you that He is the living God who made that covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's going to show you that He's God. And that's exactly what He did. God completely delivered them. You can read the story for yourself. Now the last situation I want to talk about is the prophet Elisha. And we can find this in 2 Kings chapter 6. This time it's with the Syrian army. The prophet Elisha discloses every maneuver of the Syrian commanders to the king of Israel. They finally find who's talking and they decide, the army, to kill the prophet. So one morning, the servant of the prophet wakes up with his cup of coffee. I don't know if he had coffee back then or whatever they were drinking this back then. And he sees chariots, hundreds of chariots of the Syrian army surrounded the little house of the prophet. Alarmed, he goes to the prophet Elisha. And he says, Master, we're done in. Hundreds of soldiers are there. Here's what the prophet answered him. Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And he made this simple prayer. He said, "Oh Lord, open his eyes. Just open his eyes." The servant's eyes were open. And you know what he saw? He saw thousands of angelic warriors surrounding the Syrian army. Invisible. Just because God is invisible doesn't mean he's not mighty. Just because we don't see that world does not mean it does not exist. Just because we are bound to our reality does not mean there's no other reality cross-sectioning us even though we can't see it. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Listen to me, Church of God. Today, as a people, we are marginalized. We don't have the authority. We don't have power. We're not Hollywood. We're not Washington. We're just the Church of Jesus Christ all over the world. But yet, the great of this world don't think much about us. Ah, but listen. There is a time coming when all this will be changed. For every eye shall see whom they have pierced. Every tongue, every knee will bow down, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. It's just a matter of time. Until then, know that the living God is watching over you. The angels of God are around you. His power will be with you. And even though you have wept, maybe some of you have even wanted to die, it's not your time yet. You're going to go back on your knees. You're going to find encouragement in the Lord. You're going to seize who God is. And you're going to allow His power to transform your life and to make an impact in your culture, in your world for Him. There is no wisdom or counsel or plan or army that can fight against this wonderful, awesome God of ours. Be encouraged. Love Him. Follow Him. Be obedient to Him. Let Him fulfill His will in your life. And get to know Him in a deeper way. Let's pray.